Today we celebrate the feast of our heavenly patroness, St. Rose of Lima. And St. Rose, if you've ever read much about her life, you might find it a little bit of a challenge, to tell you the truth. St. Rose really lived in a world very different from ours, not so much materially, although it is materially quite different, but interiorly and spiritually. St. Rose, of course, lived in Lima in Peru, and she's the first saint, canonized saint from the New World, actually. And she lived in a time when Lima was a sort of rough and ready, you know, sort of many people there coming to seek their fame and fortunes and that sort of thing. And you know, not a place probably associated with a whole lot of holiness in a lot of people's minds. And yet, at that time, walking around the streets of Rome, of Lima, were a number of people who would go on to be canonized saints. St. Rose, first of all, and then the bishop, for example, who confirmed her, and these other saints as well, St. Turibius, probably very, very well known as well, St. Martin de Porres, her brother in the Dominican order, and also a wonderful apostle of charity and one who suffered very greatly from racial discrimination in his life. And these other saints in this place that was sort of unlikely. So holiness and sanctity is not something that we can really judge very well on the outside of the world that we live in, you know. It operates on different standards, and very much on the interior life. And it's the thing that I think probably puts us off a little bit about St. Rose if you read her life, because as our collect, the opening prayer at Mass today, made reference to, she practiced what we would consider today, anyhow, rather extreme penances. Very extreme sorts of mortification. And a lot of us go, ooh, you know, that's weird. Well, what was that about, you know? And again, it's because I'm afraid our starting place is very different from St. Rose's starting place for the world spiritually and interiorly where she was starting from. Because she wasn't starting from herself. And that's pretty much what we do in our world. We kind of take ourselves as the starting point, ourselves as the standard of things. And that wasn't the case for St. Rose. St. Rose was from an earlier world, a world where I think, at least in this part, this point, where you start from sort of philosophically, a world more in tune with reality. St. Rose started with the love of God. And that's a better place to start, because actually, I'm not the center of the world, and neither are you. But the love of God is. The love of God is where everything came from, and it's where everything should return. And so if you start by living for the love of God, then you're going to see things very, very differently. And if you start with the love of God, living for the love of God, then things like the penances and mortifications that St. Rose practiced actually make a lot of sense, especially in her particular case. She had a unique vocation in the church, not unique, but a very, a pretty special vocation in the church. She pretty much withdrew herself from the world, except for acts of charity, and focused entirely on God in everything that she did. This, you see, in her life is a great yes to the reality of the love of God. that the love of God is what makes the world go round. Literally, it is. And she said, I want to live for that. I want to live my life here and now, essentially focused on the reality of the love of God. Now, not many people do that. Not many people in St. Rose's time did it. Maybe even fewer do it now. At least in St. Rose's time, they recognized the value of it. St. Rose, even though she lived most of her life rather secluded, when she died, the people of Lima flocked to her funeral because they recognized a life of holiness. They recognized a life lived in the virtue of charity, which is the love of God above all things and the love of neighbor for the love of God. In this church on Friday, I was here with some of the school children for Mass, and the gospel was about what is the first and greatest commandment. Well, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And actually, if you keep that one commandment, you don't have to worry about any of the rest of them. Because if you really love God, then you will love the things of God and the people of God and the commandments of God. And so if you really love God first and foremost, if you can keep that first and most important commandment, then you'll keep all the rest of them as well. And St. Rose understood that and decided, I want to commit my life to God alone. I want to love God. And you know, if we don't do that, if we don't keep the first commandment, then we are going to be committing the sin of idolatry in some way or another. You know? If we're not letting God really be God, then we've got some kind of an idol. And I think, again, like I said, going back to the beginning of the homily, I think for most of us, that idol is what I refer to as the unholy trinity. Do you know who the unholy trinity is? Me, myself, and I. And that is a very demanding idol. That God is very demanding. He doesn't let you off the hook. I was thinking this morning, actually, you know, I would so much like to be more like St. Rose. I would really love to love God better than I do. More than I do. Above all things. And I think I'm sincere in saying I want that. But if I look at my life in all honesty, I have to say, there's an awful lot of self-love there. There's an awful lot of the worship of the unholy Trinity there. And that's again why St. Rose is such a wonderful patroness, at least for me as the pastor of this church, maybe for you as well. Because that's where those penances and mortifications come in. Mortification means literally to cause to die. To make something die. And it's what we're trying to do is our selfishness. That self-absorption. That's what mortifications are for. They're saying no to yourself. But that's not an end in itself. St. Rose was not a masochist. Okay? She didn't practice these mortifications because for some reason or another, it's really good to beat up on yourself. That's not the end. What is the end that she had in mind? The end that she had in mind was yes to God. But if I'm so consumed saying yes to myself all the time, I can't ever say yes to God and to my neighbor, right? What if you have a child to whom you never say no? What will happen? You will have a spoiled human being on your hands. One that cannot never really love anybody else will be completely self-absorbed, a very selfish person. That's what happens when we never say no to ourselves and when we've never been taught and helped to say no to ourselves. We become slaves to that idol, that very demanding idol. And so this is the way of the Christian life. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us we have to do if we're going to be his disciples. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We die with Christ. Why? So that we can rise with Christ, right? But that's the order. Die first, rise afterwards, okay? That's the way it's got to be. If we don't die first, we can't rise because we'll still be slaves. And so that's why it's a beautiful example in her life to learn how to say no about all kinds of things. You know, it's another thing that God has sort of been knocking me over the head with these last maybe weeks of the pandemic going on. It's like how self-indulgent I am. How much I need to learn to say no to myself. I catch myself all the time doing something or another just because I want to. That's never a good reason to do something, just because I want to, you know? Like eating something just because I want to, or drinking something just because I want to, or doing something just because I want to, or not doing something just because I want to. That's that idolatry. To the unholy Trinity. Now, that's not to say that, like, for example, eating something is bad. It's not. You know, I've got a body. I'm supposed to take care of it, to stay healthy and strong, to be able to love and serve God and love and serve others. Eating for that reason, that's a good reason to do it. But just to do it because I want to do it, that's a terrible reason for doing anything, actually. Except if I have put the love of God first, then it's a very good reason. Because then my wants are in line with his wants. It's one of the reasons, I don't know, if I have to say one good thing about the dispensation the obligation to attend Mass is, it makes me realize when I'm here at Mass with you that we're all here because we want to be. Right? In that way, our wills have become aligned with the will of God. In this amazing parish process that we're going on, one of the things that we're working on is seeing how we can move our parish from a sense of obligation to a sense of devotion, of doing things for the love of God, for that reason. And our heavenly patroness can help us with this so much. It's all about a yes to God. That's why St. Rose did it. She wanted to say yes to God in every single aspect of her life, everything. She wanted to give everything to God, hold nothing back. That's what the Blessed Virgin Mary did. You know, that's what we remember her for, is her great yes to God, her great yeses to God, but especially that great one, fiat, be it done unto me according to thy word. And this triumphant yes of the Lord Jesus Christ to the will of the Father and for love of us, which involved a no to himself, but for the love of God and for the life of the world. That's what St. Rose shows us. That holiness that broke out in Lima in that very unlikely place, through her yes to God, but that started with no's to herself. And you know, I'm hoping and praying that it can and will happen right here. That maybe even it will happen for your pastor. That through imitating St. Rose, in learning to say no to that very demanding idol of me, myself, and I, that I and we, as the parish of St. Rose, can say an even more resounding yes to God in everything.